We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
The Bernstein and McKnight Show.
They're a scrappy team. They're well coached. Coach Payton does a great job schematically with them, and they have a lot of games that they've played together. So they're offensively, like you said, Teddy Bridgewater comes in and has won all his games that he's played. We'll see where they're at the quarterback position. But for us, we got to focus on us. And defensively, they're flying around. They're playing fast and physical. And so it's going to be a huge challenge, and we're excited to get back out at home field at Soldier Field with our fans.
Middays on the Score.
That was Matt Nagy this morning on our sister station, WBBM News Radio 780 and 105.9 FM. Let's continue talking Bears with a former Bear and a former member of the New Orleans Saints as well, Jermon Bushrod. He is on Twitter at J_Bushrod7475, and he has a new venture, a podcast and a YouTube show, the Bush and Me Show. That's me with two E's, and that can be found at Bush and Me Show on Twitter as well. Jermon Bushrod joins us on the Alpamonte Ford Hotline. Over 500 new and used vehicles to choose from at Alpamonte Ford. How you been, Jermon?
I've been good, man. How are you guys?
Good. Wonderful. So is this how you're keeping busy now, being a multimedia star following in the footsteps of an Anthony Adams?
You know, I'm having a little fun with it. You know, me and a buddy of mine, a college buddy of mine, really good friend, we decided, we've always kind of talked about doing maybe a radio show or something together, and it kind of, you know, the opportunity kind of, it came about, and I figured, well, let's go ahead and give it a shot. And, you know, we're learning as we go, and we're just having fun with it so far.
You got a pretty good perspective on the NFL, being a former player and working the line as you have in both Chicago and New Orleans. You heard the news that Kyle Long was going to be put on the shelf on injured reserve, I know that's a tough moment for any offensive lineman, being told or kind of having to admit that you're not healthy enough to do it right now. This Bears offensive line has been underwhelming from the get-go this season, and I'm sure a lot of it has to do, it seems a lot of it has to do from the interior, not necessarily the exterior. I wonder if you see the same.
Yeah, you know, it's hard, man. It's hard to good offensive line play. It's so many things, so many factors that go into it, right? You know, and health and injuries is the one thing that will make you take a step back. You know, it can definitely hold you back from being where you want to be as a team. You know, and as far as Kyle, you know, I feel bad for him because he's done everything he's trying to do to get on the field and play the game the right way. And when he's on the field, you know, he's definitely a force and somebody that can take away some of the other, you know, some other team's good defenders, you know. But it's just unfortunate that, you know, he got banged up again. And I'm hoping to reach out to him at some point and just to, you know, just to catch up with him and see how he's doing. But I know it's hard on him because, you know, it's been a while since he's, you know, put a whole season together.
When we talk about a team's identity, when an offense specifically, having to have a couple plays that when you hear it called in the huddle, everybody nods. Everyone's like, all right, great, let's get it. But you can't do that until you actually feel it working and see it working. What's the process like going from the practice field to taking it into a game and knowing that the play caller's got your back a little bit, knowing they're not just throwing stuff at the wall? How does a team get into that rhythm?
Just kind of how you just said it, reps, and then success. You know, you can do all the reps you want, you know, but if when you're calling these plays and some of these pass plays and some of these run plays that these coaches are dialing up, if you dial it up and you don't have success on it, you know, quarterbacks don't feel good about it, offensive linemen don't feel good about it. So the more success you can have when you're running these plays, the better off they'll be. And that all starts in practice. That starts actually on the game plan on Mondays and Tuesdays and then Wednesdays when you get out there, especially in the run game for offensive linemen. You know, that's you know, Wednesday practice is something that excites offensive linemen because when we go out there on a Wednesday, we have to put our best foot forward so the coaches are comfortable, you know, opening up the playbook and making sure that we can be as balanced as possible. And that only comes with reps and the things you're able to do at practice and the things you're able to accomplish on the game field.
I'm glad you mentioned balance, Jermon, because this offense, that Matt Nagy's offense has been kind of scolded for not having the balance between run game and pass game over the last year and change. I just don't know how he's supposed to get more balanced, per se, if the run game can't get blocked up well. If he's looking at either a 2-yard gain or a 3-yard loss with every first down run he's calling because that offense can't get going or unhooked.
You know, it's tough, man. It's tough. But sometimes, you know, as an offensive line, especially if you're banged up, it takes some time to get some rhythm. You know, you have to find that cohesiveness between the five guys you have up there. And, you know, sometimes those 2- and 3-yard gains can be frustrating, or a couple tackle for losses, but you just keep, you keep calling it. You keep calling it. I can go back to my days, my first year in Miami, after I was let go with the Bears. We went to Miami, and we started off 1-4. It was Adam Gase's first year there, and we kind of had to find our identity. And we didn't really have an identity until that Week 6 game we played the Steelers. And we just decided that we were going to dial up outside zone 20 times that game. And it wasn't pretty. You know, the first couple times we ran it, you know, 3, 4, 5 yards, maybe a TFL here and there. But we kept calling it. We kept calling it. And then by the, you know, towards the end of the second quarter and the second half, you know, Jay Ajayi broke, you know, that was his first 200-yard game that season. And that was kind of our mindset throughout the rest of the year. You know, as soon as, kind of going back to the last question you said, as soon as he, you know, as soon as, you know, Gase would send that call in to Tannehill, outside zone, either right or left, you could see our eyes light up, because this was our time. Like, this was our time to take what we were doing on the practice field to put it on the field come game time. And, you know, you have to be balanced in this league. You know, I was talking on our show, the Bush and Me show, the other day, and we were giving our picks. Our game of the week was 49ers and Rams, and the Rams have all the talent, but they throw the ball 40, 50, 60 times a game. You know, it's hard to win games like that. And then you turn around and you look at the San Francisco 49ers, they're averaging 200 yards rushing a game. Now I can understand why they're 5-0, 6-0, whatever their record is. They're undefeated, because Garoppolo can pass it, and they're also getting production on, you know, on the ground, so they're sticking with it.
I always wondered too, Jermon, about zone blocking as opposed to just firing out at the guy in front of you. Zone schemes generally, inside or outside, involve a sidestep or a read, a bucket step, whatever you want to call it. How does that affect the aggressiveness of a lineman when he knows there has to be some initial movement that is something other than forward?
Well, like, it's funny, because when you're running a man scheme, it's pretty much mano-a-mano or double team. So that's, you're talking like your powers or your duos when you have a guard pulling and things like that. When you're running a zone team, when you're running a zone scheme inside or outside, that's five guys working together. You know, you have an assignment, but sometimes you know, your initial assignment maybe between the tackle or tight end or tackle and guard could be right in front of you. But if things move, if you're, you know, it's like, say if your three technique goes backside, your guard has to understand that, okay, that's the tackle's man now. That's his responsibility. So you need to find who's going to fill that gap. So, you know, it's just about playing together. And that's all part of the run game, right? It's all five of you guys making sure that you're on the same page. And that all comes with reps. And that can be one of the things that's kind of difficult when you have – when you thrust a new guy in there, because I can remember going back playing, you know, my days here, my days in Chicago, you know, me and Slauson, we would get the run play at times, and we didn't even have to say anything to each other. We just knew, I just knew how he was going to block and how he was going to approach the block, and he knew where I was going to be, and that was just trust, and that was trust over reps. You know, I think Slauson and I played a year and a half before one of us went down without injury, and we had to get used to somebody else. So it's all about, you know, man schemes, like I was saying. It's more mano-a-mano, like who's tougher, you know, who's going to move who off the ball. In zone schemes, you know, you have to play a little bit more patient, and then you got to be physical.
Do you think Trubisky's any good?
I do. I just think he needs to continue to just manage the game. You know, he's an accurate quarterback. He's a smart quarterback. I liked a lot of things that he was doing, especially last year. You know, you have a really good defense with those guys. So all you have to do on offense is just be productive and not give up any short fields. So I think if he can continue to do that, continue to grow, I think the future is really good for him. you know, I think it's tough sometimes when younger quarterbacks try to do too much, or sometimes they have to do too much because the flow of the game isn't going the way it needs to. But he showed a lot of good signs, and Chicago Bear fans should be really happy that they got a guy like Trubisky back there. Mm.
I wonder, you know, you mentioned the outside run in Miami, you know, that idea that you guys, you just called it 20 times and this is what we're doing, this is how we'll establish an identity. If you were calling, like, to consult Matt Nagy with the game plan against the Saints, is there a specific kind of play, something that you'd say, all right, this is what you do 20 times to figure out your own identity? I don't know whether it's outside zone or something else. Like, is there one thing that you figure this offensive line ought to get done 20 times to figure something out?
Well, you know, if you're a little banged up inside and you're trying to find your way on offense, you know, the best thing you can do is to be the most physical front. And the thing about the Saints is they're very strong. They just have a very unique defense. You know, their front line is really, you know, they're really good. You know, some guys aren't really that big. You know, you have your Sheldon Rankins, 300-pound guy in the middle, but he's really good laterally, really good with his hands. You know what you're going to get out of Cam Jordan. You know, he's an all-day beast against the run and the pass. These linebackers that they have, they're really smart and fast. Their corners are really tough. So you definitely got to keep them guessing. You know, Dennis Allen has been having a really good game plan for the last couple years, to be honest. You have to stay with the run. You have to stay to be consistent. But as a team, you just can't let the Saints get out in front of you, because that's when Dennis Allen will dial up some things and will have some success. You definitely have to try to continue to run the ball. Do not be one-dimensional versus these guys. Understand that it is hard to run the ball on them. I think after this last Jaguars game, it's been 32 straight games that they haven't allowed a 100-yard rusher. So I don't know if that, like, deters some coaches from running the ball or not, but you have to stay with it. You know, you have to. If not, you know, it can be a long day.
If you're coordinating an offense that is going up against Khalil Mack, do you run at him? Do you run away from him? Do you double team him every time? Do you move the pocket away from him in passing situations? How do you make him matter less?
You definitely have to have a great plan. And Sean Payton will have those guys. They will have a good plan. He'll be going up against two really good tackles this week, though. So I don't know how much, you know, how much double team or how much help they're going to be getting. But, you know, the quarterback definitely has to know where Khalil Mack is at all times. And you definitely have to change it up. You definitely want to run at him. You want to crack block him. You want to make sure that, you know, the presence is felt when you are playing against game changers. You know, guys like Khalil Mack, Aaron Donald, Big Akeem Hicks. I just heard, you know, I found out he was hurt. I didn't know that. But, you know, these are guys that can wreck a game. And you have to have a plan. You have to stick with it. You have to understand that they are at times going to have their moments in the game. But as an offense, I remember when I was, you know, my years in the league, anytime you have a guy who's a game changer, who can wreck the whole, you know, wreck your whole game plan, you have to understand that there's plays that have to be done. Like you were saying, sometimes you have to move the pocket and send a tight end back to cut them, or sometimes you have to, you know, make sure your play action is where it needs to be. And being balanced on offense will keep somebody like Khalil Mack away from the quarterback.
If the Saints have Alvin Kamara working at less than 100%, which it looks like they may, a couple of injuries for him, what will they go to, assuming Teddy Bridgewater is still playing?
They'll continue to lean on Latavius Murray. Jared Cook is finally starting to work his way into the offense. They're going to find a way to get Mike T the ball and some of these other young receivers that they have on the offensive side of the ball. But, you know, they'll probably keep Kamara on a little bit of a pitch count and make sure that, you know, they're not messing him up for the rest of the year. But you when he gets in that game, you have to know where he is for sure, because he's a game changer as well.
How are you dealing with not playing football this year? The first time actually being done, being away from the game. Is it physically, mentally, is where you're ready to step away?
I was ready. I mean, I'm pretty sure you're understanding what happened with me and my family last year. We lost a child. We lost our third child after a week being here on the earth for a week. So I think after the season, I think I just had a whole different perspective on things. You know, I'm really okay with it. You know, maybe after when I left Chicago, after my, you know, that was 9 years in the league, I don't think I was ready to give it up mentally or physically. You know what I'm saying? But I'm in a good place. I'm in a really good place. You know, the Lord has blessed us with another child, and I've been kind of just helping the wife out around the house a lot with the kids, and you know, doing morning and doing morning school drop-offs and doing pickups, and you know, helping her around the house because she's on pretty much house arrest, bed rest, you know, with this child we have. So I'm busy for sure. I'm definitely busy. But I'm cool. I'm really happy that the place that I'm in. No complaints about it. You know, it was a really good journey that we had. I can't hang my head. I can't be upset about it. And I don't want to be upset about it. I don't want to be a guy who walks away from the game and I feel like all my identity is in football, and it's not. You know, it was a 12-year career. It was a very special thing that happened for me, and something that my family and everyone could go through and experience with me. It was ups and downs. I learned a lot about myself and what I, you know, how I can push myself. So I'm really in a good place with it. You know, I do have a little bit of FOMO, you know, fear of missing out when, you know, I see my guys out there having fun on various teams. You know, you want to be in that winning locker room, but all good things must come to an end. You can't play forever. You know, I've had 3 surgeries in the last 4 years, so I'm putting things into perspective and I'm happy, you know. I'm happy about it.
That's some mature stuff. Glad we got a chance to catch up, and best of luck with everything, Jermaine.
Thank you, man. I'm thinking me and my buddy, we're going to be out there in Chicago this weekend. I don't know if we're going to make it to the game, but we'll at least be there for a couple of days. We're going to shoot a show out there. So I haven't been back to Chicago since I left, so I'm excited to get out there and maybe catch up with a couple buddies.
Well, thanks for taking the time for us today.
Thank you for having me on.
That is Jermaine Bushrod, the former Bear and 2-time Pro Bowler.
It's going to be tough for the Bears' offensive line, especially if, especially if Mitch turns out to not be the guy that Jermaine thinks he might be.
I'm glad to hear the optimism that goes.
We don't get that a lot.
Yeah, it goes against a lot of what we have heard on these airwaves when people are asked, which is why I wanted to make sure we asked him his thought just straight up.
Yeah, I'm glad we did. Speaking of quarterback play and what might have been, what could have been, you know, the alternate history versions, you had some of that yesterday in the NFL slate. It was Mahomes, Watson, 1. I found it entertaining, even if you didn't have one of those fighting at his top level, as healthy as you possibly could. I think all of us, though, Jay and Tony and Dan and I, all of us have like different, I think feelings, right? We had different feelings about watching that game and the what ifs surrounding it. We'll get into one of the better football games on the slate last week with Mahomes and Watson and what it might have meant for the Bears when we come back. Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Bottom of the hour is brought to you by the Chicago Wolves. Chicago Wolves games are a great excuse to get your group together, whether it's for a company outing, a birthday party, a team celebration, or anything else. To set up your group, visit ChicagoWolves.com. A lot of football conversation so far on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. We kind of have the vestigial phantom pains of what would be a Bears Monday,
yeah,
because it's football season and it's Monday, but the Bears have been off, and it sort of freed us up from our Bears commitment yesterday, which was frankly kind of nice.
We get to pick our own things to yell and scream about, yeah, you know, instead of just having the thing thrust upon us to have to yell and scream about. Now we get to pick our own.
Watch a bunch of college football and watch a bunch of pro football. One of the big national games that we got here was of interest for obvious reasons.
Yeah, the Watson-Mahomes battle was a fun one. You tell me, I mean, I know you watched the game. Everybody did. How could you not? One quarterback had 273 yards, 3 scores, and 1 interception. He took 1 sack for 17 yards. The other had 280 yards, 1 touchdown, 2 interceptions, did not take a sack. Patrick Mahomes had the 3 scores, the 1 interception, the 1 sack. Deshaun Watson, 30 of 42 for 280 yards, had the 1 touchdown and 2 interception. His team came out ahead, 31-24. Despite the fact that Kansas City put up 17 in the first quarter, Houston stormed back for 20 in the second, they end up with the win. I know that a lot of people watch this game with pangs, with yearning, with
pangs with of yearning,
with desire.
You know what?
This is like NFL poetry for a lot of people, and I
guess I just don't. You do?
I a little, but not a whole lot. I mean, the decision got made, and I guess, you know, for whatever reason, going back to that draft, I was working for the White Sox when I was working on the White Sox radio broadcast, I should say, when the pick got made, right? When the Bears traded up to take Mitchell Trubisky, second overall. Sox had an off day. So I remember, like,
I was in the
Jewel,
and I was at the...
Adopting some sort of pastry?
No, that's Mariano's.
A very lost pastry?
No, and I was on my phone as I'm waiting in line for the cashier, and I let out an out loud, holy... And because I saw it, Bears trade. Wait, what?
Right.
They did what?
It was stunning. I remember having the night off and sitting down to watch the draft, and then that trade happens, and I hadn't been paying a whole lot of attention to the Bears because it wasn't my gig at the time. And you know, but the draft is the draft. I love the NFL draft. So I got right back in, and they make the trade, and it's, oh my God, I couldn't believe it. But I put it away because going into that draft, I read and heard from and considered so many other people who evaluated that quarterback class, saying that Mitch was probably the number one guy on everyone's radar. So I keep on coming back to that and going, okay, that's the decision that got made at the time. That's the information that was available at the time. And I don't think other people have that same kind of, they don't see it that way, I guess.
No.
Yeah, it was tough. No. Like, Mahomes is one thing, because there was not a unanimous agreement that Mahomes was going to be a great pro, but everyone kind of knew that Watson was going to be really, really good, just based on the body of work in college.
He was a winner.
All the things he showed he looked like an NFL quarterback in college, and when they traded up, it was like, okay, this is it, and then they took Trubisky, and I was fine with it. But it just seems like such an... It was so overthought by Ryan Pace.
I don't play that game. I can't.
Well, you can't because it makes you sad.
Well, but in general... But it doesn't make me sad because that's just the way sports works. You can't... If you really were to rue all of these decisions that could have been this or that, you have to do with every pick in every draft. With every team for which you root.
I think there are a lot of people that do.
You can't live that life.
We spent two baseball seasons going back through drafts where the Cubs took Albert Almora or Kyle Schwarber or whatever. I mean, we did it there.
Them. Just develop those guys. Development. Get the most out of what you got and we'll go win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but it's different when you're trading up for the number two pick. When you had your pick of every quarterback in that draft.
I know I'm not going to convince anybody to let it go. But
it's one thing if it's the eighth overall pick or seventh, whatever.
Or that's 20.
This is number two overall, and you had your pick of the litter of quarterbacks, and this is the one you took. And maybe he'll turn out great. He could. He might be fine if the old line becomes replacement level, maybe he's okay.
Well,
but it just seemed like such an obvious pick with Watson.
I think the conversation changes some when you get to quarterbacks because of the debate about whether accuracy is this God-given thing or whether it's teachable or developable. It's a fun word to butcher. Like that's a conversation that a lot of people have been having for a long time, and those who have been in the business and
I'm picturing you in a bloodstained apron with cleavers in both hands. He is Connor, butcherer
just
of words,
slicing words apart. It's like a Dark Side, yep. Sesame Street bit. word butcher.
I like it.
I remain unconvinced that accuracy isn't something you can develop. To what degree,
wait,
I don't
unconvinced
know.
Unconvinced that it isn't?
Yeah.
You got too many negatives in here.
Okay. Well, same with the Bears.
You remain convinced it is something you can develop.
No, I don't know that anyone has told me one way. Because of the way athletes are now reshaping their ability to perform repeatable tasks.
Right.
Whether it's golf swings, whether it's baseball swings, whether it's deliveries
pitch
and stuff
grips.
Like this.
Yep.
I remain curious about whether or not quarterbacks can develop more accuracy as they continue to play. That's something that everybody told you in years past, that no, it's you lift him out of the cradle and he either is a quarterback or isn't a quarterback. He either has it or doesn't have it. And I don't...
But we don't know when they're getting formal quarterback training from 7 or 8 or 9 years old, whether or not somebody – when do you make that determination now? It's not like they're just arriving at a college and saying, well, I went to dear old state. Maybe I'll go out for the football team. Well, son, let's see if you can hurl this pill.
That's true, right? But the NFL has also widened its consideration as to who can and can't play quarterback. I mean, since Russell Wilson beat out Matt
Flynn.
They're
letting black guys do it now.
Yeah, that's part of it.
Okay, fine.
Since Russ beat out, and I'm sure you go back, since he did it, and it's not just a race thing, though it has been for a long time in football, a consideration about whether or not you take a black quarterback, because we did that for like 25 years and didn't have great results in terms of the front offices and their decision-making processes, because how could this guy ever play quarterback? I mean, my God, what a Stone Age era. But now you're considering whether or not players have to be 6'1 or 6'2 to play quarterback. That's right. What I mean more than anything else.
I guess. I just
the size and shape of the athlete that's eligible to play quarterback at the NFL level has changed completely. Why won't the accuracy consideration or the delivery change?
I guess back to your initial point, I look at the Trubisky issue, and it is an issue, obviously. He's not good enough right now. He's played in 30-some games, and he hasn't consistently been good enough despite what he showed last year. And then he gets hurt. We don't know if he's durable enough, if he's good enough. We have no idea if he's going to live up to his immense potential when they made the move to grab him. But to me, that's separate than all the other sliding doors and all the other possible roads and all of these sort of multiple infinite quantum universes in which everything exists. I have enough worry about this universe. It's hard enough.
Right.
It's hard enough dealing with the actual question. Can they develop him? Can this guy, the actual reality of he is the quarterback. They did trade up to pick him. You can't unwind any of these moves. So I'm not going to make myself crazy about the what ifs.
Okay,
but that's just me.
So then do it this way.
And I'm really good at making myself crazy about stupid things. That's my whole life. That's my bit.
It's a go-to. Then do it this way. You mentioned so many unknowns surrounding Mitch Trubisky right now, right? Mm-hmm. His health is even one of those things, because whether he's going to play against the Saints on Sunday or not remains somewhat up in the air. It kind of looks like he will. But there are so many answerable questions surrounding Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes. There are so many more answerable questions there. For instance, if Patrick Mahomes is playing at 50%, I'd still rather have him than about 30 other quarterbacks in the NFL. Deshaun Watson holds the ball too long sometimes. He just does. And sometimes when diagnosing zone coverage, he doesn't do it real well on the field. He spends 5 minutes dissecting the coverage in a post-game press conference, then goes back out onto the field and works his ass off trying to fix the issues. Though I know those things about those quarterbacks. How many things do you know about Mitch Trubisky, whether it's because of injuries or not, whether it's because of a bad offensive line or not? How many things do you know?
I know he's a good athlete. I know he's fast.
He loves football.
God, he loves football.
He loves football.
Hydration.
And he loves
hydration.
Very, very passionate about hydration. Mm-hmm. But the other stuff, not so much.
No, you don't. You don't have those answers.
This segment is brought to you by Amazon. Holiday hiring at Amazon starts now. Earn up to $16 an hour. No resume, no previous experience required. Choose from a variety of shifts. Find your employer, your opportunity at amazon.com/apply. Amazon is an equal opportunity employer. We've got a lot to do with the midday midway coming up and your first of two chances to win $1,000 in cash. That's all in the next segment for said midday midway. I have a question of whether or not you should let something explode or if you should blow it up before it explodes. These are the fun kinds of questions you have to ask.
Question.
And I've got a world record. Something has grown. It is not a pumpkin. It's usually this time of year we're talking about world record pumpkins. So I was surprised to see something has grown that is a world record. And what you have to go through to get it certified as such, not a pumpkin.
An invention that may reshape your Sunday fun days, and really any other drinking day of the week, and an invasive species that I think Dan Bernstein will go hunt himself. The Midday Midway's on the way. Bernstein McKnight, 670 The Score.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. visit pitchhitrun.com today.
The first half or the second half, you know, it's they're two equal times.
Now, Midway.
The Midday Midway.
One, two.
Midway, the most important of the year.
Three, four.
The most exciting thing on the Midway.
Five, six, seven, eight.
Our objective is Midway.
9, 10.
You guys gotta meet me halfway out there.
So real, you can almost feel it.
The Midday Midway with Bernstein and McKnight on the Score.
A lot of football talk so far on Bernstein and McKnight as we discussed Kyle Long's likely placement on injured reserve. He might be done as a Bear. He might be done as an NFL player for all we know. Because he hasn't been good. They knew he hasn't been good. And we talked with Jermon Bushrod. He took Patrick Manley's spot today on what kind of feels a little bit like a non-Bears Monday, Bears Monday, because there was all the football yesterday. Just didn't include the Bears. So we talked a lot about line play, a little bit about Mitchell Trubisky. And before we get into our Midday Midway stories, a little bit of breaking Cubs news. We should let you know that apparently Astros bench coach Joe Espada is being interviewed by the Brain Trust today, and they have added another name to the interview list.
Pray tell.
And that would be former Phillies skipper Gabe Kapler.
No kidding. Gabe Kapler.
That will be worth some discussion a little bit later on in the show.
Oh, yeah. We're going to get into that for sure. This, though, may be a revolution in beer drinking technology. Carlsberg? You into a Carlsberg?
Not a huge fan.
Sure. It's a place.
It's fine.
Okay. There's a bar, AJ Hudson's, over by where Shep and I used
to
live.
That's Ashland and Grace.
Yeah, that's the spot. It's just a couple blocks up from Art of Pizza. You know, it's that whole thing. So it was a go-to for us. And it's a big soccer bar, footy bar, right? I think they're all Liverpool fans or something over there. So they drink a lot of the Carlsberg stuff. It's a Dutch beer. And the folks at Carlsberg think that they may have fixed a big problem when it comes to beer drinking. They say they've created the very first paper beer bottle made from sustainable wood fibers with a coated interior to prevent seepage. You got to watch out for seepage.
See, that you can crush that. You can, few people would crush beer bottles on their heads like they do cans,
yeah.
But that one you probably could.
They got two prototypes in the work for the green fiber bottle, one with a thin layer of recyclable plastic in the interior, and the other using another plastic around the inside as well. It's 100% bio-based. It's 100% biodegradable. Carlsberg hopes to create a bottle made from 100% recyclable materials and drop what would then be the emissions, you know, from their plants
the carbon
and stuff
footprint,
like that.
Yeah,
they're planning to achieve zero carbon at the breweries by 2030, which is a great goal to have. But I find it somewhat interesting. I hadn't really thought about it because, listen, as Napoleon once said, quantity has a quality all its own. And that's kind of how I embrace my weekends, right? I mean, it's a thing for me.
Yeah, the group text was fun this weekend.
Yeah, sorry about that.
I was hoping we were putting that at our super archive server there.
Listen, when
the top secret encoded encrypted server.
When Wisconsin takes off to a 38-0 drubbing of Michigan State, I get a little excited. I got a little excited. I got a little overzealous.
Oh God, the Ohio State game! I can only imagine what's going to happen.
It's not going to be pretty. I might have to take a day off. It's not going to be pretty.
A Hawaii family has won a place with the Guinness World Records for the world's heaviest. I'm going to tell you how heavy it was before I tell you what it is. 5.6 pounds. It didn't sound all that heavy,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
5.6 pounds, the Pokini family from the island of Maui, they have received their Guinness certificate. This is from a tree planted when their son was born, using a seed from the brother-in-law's tree on Oahu.
Can I guess?
Sure.
A macadamia nut.
No. Yar.
5.6 pounds of that would have been
a
big one.
They applied in December for the Guinness recognition involving a tough verification process, and I did not know. They entered another one in 2018, but it did not meet all the elements of the Guinness verification process requiring input from a certified horticulturalist, two forms completed by witnesses, a state-certified scale, photographs, video, and other documentation. So for this, their second attempt, they gathered a team and the right tools ahead of time.
5.6 pounds?
Yep.
Grown out of a tree?
Mm-hmm.
pineapples grow from the ground. Banana, would, that's no. that's not.
A banana's technically a berry. Do you know that?
I did not. It I did is. Not technically. But that the tree, is. Right? Still yep, tree, yep. right?
Yeah, big banana tree, I yes.
Guesses, fellas?
Anybody, 5.6 pound world record?
I would say coconut, but that's can't be that can't be a record for a coconut.
It's not a coconut.
I'm going to say apple.
You're going to be
just tell us,
wrong.
Dan.
Orange.
No, not orange. The answer is avocado. A 5.6 pound avocado.
That and, is a big one.
And what do you think they're going to do with it? Here is the actual response. The family, quote, made a whole bunch of guacamole.
Yeah, that's
well,
what you do.
Right?
Either that or you roll it through Wicker Park and watch a whole bunch of hipsters bid on it or
my
something.
My toast!
Oh, my God.
The
I
toast!
Have to just watch them all chase after a 5.5.
We have to make the toast! That's a big one.
That is a big one. There is an invasive species headed into Georgia. Dan, you tell me if you've ever come across one of these. Georgia's Department of Natural Resources has a message for anglers. If you catch a northern snakehead...
Oh, kill it with fire.
It says kill it immediately. Kill it immediately.
And eat it.
Northern snakeheads are an invasive fish.
They're
that can,
awful.
Hold on. It can breathe air... and survive for days on land.
Yep. They can walk on their. It's
wait,
their.
What do you mean they can walk?
Well, it's like their pectoral fins. They can locomote. It's not really walking, but they can locomote on land.
Sounds a little bit like the 0.3K that Jay and Rick ran.
What? They're just locomoting.
They just
on their pectoral fins.
This is kind of floating around.
No,
a little bit.
Snakehead. Maryland had an issue. They had to poison a bunch of lakes.
No kidding.
And actually, I learned after the fact. That I realized that I had caught one before. Because it was the only explanation.
It?
No,
you wouldn't have known.
I was so terrified of it, and it was so aggressive. I thought it might have been a bowfin or something like that, but it had to have been a snakehead by description. And it was in the Doral, now owned by Trump, I believe. But I was fishing in one of the ponds at the Doral Country Club, and one of those hit a buzz bait, and it was the scariest thing I've ever seen.
So they say they have no idea how it got there. It's been found in 14 other states. Snakeheads are native to Asia. They're long, thin, up to 3 feet long. Here's the process that the DNR in Georgia says. One, do not release it. That's in all caps. Kill it immediately and freeze it. They can survive on land. If possible, take pictures of the fish, include close-ups of the mouth, fins, and tail. Note where it was caught, like the water body, landmarks, GPS coordinates, and immediately report it to the DNR. They're treating this like they're finding the thing, like Kurt Russell just found the thing.
They're terrifying because they breed really fast. They lay a ton of eggs.
Okay.
They're incredibly hardy, and they eat absolutely everything. So they're hugely destructive. But they are believed, the reason why they're popular in China is they're believed to have medicinal properties when made into a special soup.
There's also a link here on the article that links to the a documentary CBS is doing on the Burmese python invasion. So I'm sure you and Terry want to get together and watch that show since it was so much a part of you guys the last couple of years.
This from the Daily Star. There are growing fears that a washed-up sperm whale could explode, sending bits of its carcass flying across a Northumberland beach.
It'll do that.
And this also, this is bigger than the avocado. And not only is it fun to say Northumberland, it's also fun to say Newbiggin by the Sea. That's where it is, at Newbiggin by the Sea. And this is, when you remember the sperm whale, we're talking Moby Dick whale.
Yeah, no, that's it.
This is the, big whale. And what happens is, the whale carcass washes up. There is a buildup of gas as their insides rot, and then the whales explode.
Same.
This happened in 2004 as a whale was being transported on the back of a truck in Taiwan. It left a poor bystander utterly drenched in putrefied remains and whale juice.
Burn everything.
On other occasions, explosives have been used to assist in disposing of whale carcasses, but the act of cutting the whales open can also lead to minor explosions.
Really?
Yes.
What do you cut a thing off? Is it like a chainsaw?
So they don't. There's no good answer here. So do you blow it up? Do you partially blow it up and think that might actually begin to set off a chain reaction that blows it up? At some point, bottom line, you're going to get exploding whale.
She's going to go. Yeah.
She's going to go. The question is, do you do have control over the explosion? There's so many variables at work here. Do you get the guy in the bomb disposal suit? the awesome bomb disposal suit.
What's he going to do? Is he going to bring his own bomb to blow the thing up? Or is he going to cut it open and hope the explosion is absorbed by the suit?
Because there's nothing more awesome than the bomb disposal suit that makes you look like Juggernaut. And you have the thing on with the giant bubble on the head. And we learned when we once researched this on these airwaves, it does have a wiener sleeve. There is a specially designed protection in the bomb disposal suit.
Yes, it does.
And so we were going to start like a screamo band called Wiener Sleeve, but we chose not to. We may still, however.
That is the Midday Midway. We do it every day here on the Bernstein and McKnight Show. I know, I can't believe they let us do it either. Rich Campbell of the Chicago Tribune is our typical Monday guest at 11 o'clock. Why would we change? The man covers the Bears, knows all. We'll talk to him in a few.
It's time for your chance to win $1,000 in cash on the score. This hour's keyword is flame. Text flame to 72881 by the end of the hour. The keyword is flame, 72881. A randomly selected nationwide entrant from this hour will win. Don't text and drive. Message and data rates may apply. Rich Campbell next on the score.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.